of Jeremiah and chapter 14. And if you want to ask yourself, in the light of your busy day and coming and going and things you've got to do in the process and all of that, and get tired. But in your normal life, in some fashion, some people exercise a little bit every now and then. Some people take a pill for pain or some other reason every now and then. Why do you do all these little things every now and then? You do them. You do them, regardless of how you feel. You do them. And that's so you can keep going and handle your daily existence. Now, what are we doing? We're here because in our daily existence, all the things that we do, and we do different things methodically to do what we do, to keep going. What are we doing here? Well, we're supposed to be praying without ceasing. And why are we doing that? Because we need a unique personal relationship with God so that we can handle our personal existence. Our personal existence is much more involved and stressful, comparatively, than it was 50 years ago. And now, in the light of our country, and thus surrounded by the world system in which we live, and the world system is fully encouraging and cooperating with what? The demise and removal of any biblical influence. Christian, Bible-believing believers, even. That's the movement. Now, in order to keep up with that, that's why we're here, among other reasons, so that we are able to stay fresh and keep with it. And so, God, that's what we're doing. Well, what do you mean? We're going to pray without ceasing. And prayer involves strictly, basically, and fundamentally, and wonderfully. Prayer involves a personal exercise the personal exercise of your relationship to God, so that you are intelligently more and more trusting Him, looking to Him, handling the daily needs, school, homework, everything you do, pain, headache, you handle all of that, a little more refreshed, conscious of God. And just think, if we took it away, if you want to exercise that, take it all away. We'll close down and forget going to church anywhere. It won't make any difference most of the time, but going to anywhere. How long would you be reading your Bible? How long would you be understanding your Bible? How much would you be trusting God? Take it away. We take it away, where are you going to be? So I'm just trying to exercise you to see the value. So we come, you say, we're prayer meeting, we don't pray. Paul, that prayer is our relationship to God, practiced. And if it involves specific needs and problems, then we deal with them. And we hope to deal with them individually, and if need be, collectively, like Bible school and different things, like the conference. Now, so back over here in Jeremiah chapter 14, we are having a wonderful what exercise, because Jeremiah is facing his own nation, Israel. His own nation is not doing good. It's going to fail. The nations around him, namely Babylon, are aggressively coming to destroy the city. Here we are in America, and the nations around us are in full throttle to put us out of business. So now, here we are, and here's Jeremiah, and here we are. So Jeremiah, we're on the same page with you, we want to be. So now, in the light of that, so we prayed in verse 11, 14, 11. Then said the Lord unto me, remember we said this, prayed this last time, pray not for this people for their good. And we took time to go through and understand what that meant. They had, God is very good. He wants to do good at all times. He's just good and he does good. He wants our well-being, is the word good, to be blessed in what you do, and prosper in just being alive, not to shrink, but to prosper, to grow. And that's the word, for good. They didn't want that. They didn't want God's good, and thus they didn't want God, his person. Now, and we share that together because we need to see that when we know, as believers, we did it a little bit to put it together, we know that all things what? Work together for what? For good. That's what we know. So, boy, I got that, Jeremiah, and I got Israel, and I got what I don't want to have happen to me, I don't want to do what they did. They just forgot God and the good. I don't want to forget a good God who does good at any moment, in every moment. Now, so in the light of that, now, and having said that little bit, so they didn't want that. Chapter 14 and in verse 19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion at Jerusalem? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. We looked for peace, and there is no good. No good. There's your little word. No good. There's no good news here. No good news. And for the healing, and behold, and for a time of healing, a little time to recoup, but there isn't any. Behold, trouble, and it doesn't get less. It just keeps going. Wouldn't you like to take a break for a year or two? But you don't get a break for a month or two. You don't almost get a break for a week or two. So now, over, if you wouldn't want to place on this, over if you wouldn't in chapter 2, reminding yourself when God, Jeremiah started dealing with Jerusalem. And in chapter 2, Jeremiah, you remember, verse 13 a little bit. For my people have committed two evils. What are they? They have forgotten me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out, cisterns down in the ground, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they've gone and they have rejected God, good, the water, where the water comes from, and they have sought to try to get water and have water, and their system is broken. It doesn't hold any water. And they end up with no water. Thus down, if you would, to verse 19. 2 and 19. Thine own wickedness hath corrected thee, shall correct thee. And thy black backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. There's no fear of me, no looking to me. You don't even relate to me, to understand who I am, and you don't ever want to enjoy the good that I would do. Now, having said that part, back over to chapter 14. And picking up, if I can, in verse 12. God continues. Don't pray for their good, verse 11. Verse 12. When they fast, remember going without, in order to concentrate on something, namely and concerned about something so you don't eat or sleep or something. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. So now we'll take that apart a little bit. I'm not going to hear them. I'm not going to give ear to them. I'm not going to give my ear to hear, as it were, their cry. I'm not going to do that. And they're going to offer, not only are they going to fast, but they're going to offer their burnt offering, which is the sacrifice, and oblation, that has to do with a grain meal offering. They're going to bring their offerings, and I will not accept them. The word accept means to go and associate with, to join up with, to be in favor, to be favorable to, gracious to. I will not accept them. I will not receive them. I will not hear them. I will not receive them. On the contrary, I will go and consume them by the sword. And the word consume has to do with to finish, to complete, to bring to an end, to cause to cease. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to bring where they are and who they are and what they're doing to an end. I'm going to finish it. It's going to stop and come to an end. Verse 12, and I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And pestilence has to do with that which is, it's intensive, the little word, no, I shouldn't say that yet. It has to do with to be ruined, to be a snatching away, a taking away all the good, leaving you in ruin, destruction. The word would be translated a plague, a pestilence. Now, so I'm going to send a sword, and I'm going to reduce it down to an end. I'm going to finish them off by a sword, by famine, and by pestilence. That's what's going to happen now. And in the light of that sword, now, and he keeps telling them, if you keep sword, the S-W-O-R-D, it's over and over and over again in Jeremiah. So let's just look at sword. Now, they know there's a sword involved, and they know that. But, over, if you would, chapter 2 again. In chapter 2, and picking up, if I may, in chapter 2 and verse 30. In vain have I stricken your children. They receive no correction. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. You've gone, and every time I try to send someone, you try to put them out of business. You try to get rid of them. Now, chapter 5 of Jeremiah. And again in verse 12. They have belied the Lord. Now remember when we did this section and the word belied is intensive, and it has to do with to decrease something, to lessen it, to deny it, to reduce. Belie, they have reduced God to make him less and less God. They have belied, reduced God down to being man-sized. Got him down to where they could put him in their pocket and they could talk about him and read about him and read what they want and do what they want and say what they want. They can do whatever they want with God, G-O-D. And we can make him whatever we want and change him wherever we wish, no matter who he is and what he is. Now, They, verse 12, they have belied the Lord and said, It is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. We aren't going to see anything. And all the ominous warnings just go unheard, unheeded. Now, back over to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, remember now we have the sword, the end of verse 12, the sword, famine, and pestilence. And that's repeated over and over, those three. Boom, boom, keep saying them. Now, and he adds one other thing over to chapter 15. In chapter 15 and in verse 2. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then shalt thou tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, such as are for the sword to the sword, such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And captivity is that sword, famine, pestilence, captivity. He told them, they're going to go in captivity. That's what's going to happen. How am I going to make Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city and the temple and empty the people out? Where are the people going to go? Well, they're going to die, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And some of you are going to end up going to Babylon into captivity. Now, over, if you would, back chapter 14 again. And you will note, please, in chapter 14, verse 12. For they fast, I will not hear their cry. So we talked about the praying for their good, and I will not hear their cry. They're going to cry out, and I am not going to hear it. Now that's interesting and needs to be looked at, I think, to understand that. I'm not going to hear them. Okay. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And would you follow with me, chapter 19, and in verse 5. This is the wonderful, God prepares them for their introduction to himself, and he tells them these wonderful things, that is, their relationship is going to be wonderful. At Mount Sinai, they're going to discover it, but they're told ahead of time its wonderfulness, so don't get frightened. Chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people. A peculiar treasure unto me, above all people of the earth, you are going to be prized by me. And special to me, for all the earth is mine. Now, in verse 5, if you will obey, see the word obey, my voice, obey, indeed, are the same word, hear, I will not hear them. Now, here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, they were to hear God. And when you have the word obey, and indeed, both the same word, Hebrew word, then it becomes very strong, certain, with great, it makes the verb with great intensity, strength. I will not hear. If you will obey with certainty, intenseness to it. And they, that's what they were to do. And to boot, you know, verse 8, and all the people answered and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So, yeah, we're going to obey. God said, I want you to listen to me. Hear me. Oh, we will. We will hear you. Did they? No. Now, and put it together some more, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. in what the just as Moses, after 40 years in the wilderness, they're going to cross the Jordan. And Moses, that's the book of Deuteronomy, is going to fulfill and bring together all of the four books ahead of it and add some more truth so that they're ready to cross the Jordan intelligently. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up if I can, and you know their wonderful assignment was to go and bring God's word to themselves. They were to understand it themselves and enjoy it themselves, experience it themselves, and thus the world, when that is happening, people see it. When God's dealing with a life, people see it. And you're looking for God. Where is forgiveness? Where is something, some word, some clue that God's in you, that God's doing something? Is there something somewhere? Where is it? You see, month after month, nothing there. What's wrong? Wow. Now, so here they are, and so Israel was to show this, their specialness, that they hear God and obey God. Now, and the result, chapter 4, verse 7, for what nation, well, I'll have to read verse 6, keep therefore 4:6. Keep therefore and do them, my word. This is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which I just said, which shall hear all these statutes. Now they didn't go up and down. They didn't go down into Egypt with a little sign and said, "Here's the Ten Commandments." They didn't do that. They just were in Israel. And they're supposed to be healthy. And if they're healthy, they're a light. And when they're a light, and they're right, no matter where you were in the darkness, could you see the light? If you were in South Africa, could you see the light? Uh-huh. The world would know. The world would know. Now, and the world knows now Israel's in the dark. Now, so here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, middle of verse 6, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For, verse 7, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? All the nations are going to hear what? The Israelites talk to God. They're supposed to talk to God. God hears them. It's a relationship, prayer. They talk to God. And the world can't talk to God. Your neighbors, can they talk to God? The people in work? Maybe people in your own house. Talk to God. Talk to God. I mean, talk to God. My God. And not somewhere, not a, God, where are you? No, not that. No, just wherever we go, he goes. Wherever we is, he is. Wow. So all the world was supposed to know this. So God, what are you judging them for? I will not hear their prayer. I will not hear their prayer. They will not hear mine. They will not honor my word. They do not honor me. I will not honor them. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I will not honor them. So now, having said that little bit, over back to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 14, I turn to chapter 7, so we'll start there. Chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7, and in verse 16. just to get the flavor, the movement of thought. They don't hear. And God said, I'm not going to hear. So don't bother talking to me. I'm not going to listen, no matter what they do. Chapter 7, verse 16. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. There's your word. We're not going to hear them. I'm just not going to hear them. So I mean, that's a sobering thing, you know. They're not going to hear. Going to call 911, but they aren't going to answer. Now, over, please, in chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. All the way with skipping ahead there. And in chapter 32, picking up, if I may, in verse 33, get the flavor of it again. 32:33. They have turned unto me the back, said God, and not the face. They've turned away, going the wrong direction. Though I taught them rising up early, teaching them, yet they have not heard to receive instruction. They block their ears and turn away and go in the wrong direction. They just don't hear. Jeremiah chapter 6, they just don't hear. And you will note, please, Jeremiah chapter 6, and picking up our little words so we see the movement again. And remember now, verse 16, you're familiar with it. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. In other words, I want to put you back on the right path in the right way. Your life, no matter what it is. Where is the good way? There's your good way. And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I set watchmen over you, we just read that, and saying, hearken, listen, to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken, or listen, or hear it. Verse 18, therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. In other words, the nations better pay attention now about what God is going to do to Israel. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Why? Because they have not hearkened, haven't heard unto my words, nor to my law, but they rejected it. They just plain rejected all that I said and all that I did. So, now, over, if you would, chapter 29. And we'll move in a little different thought now to change it. Chapter 29. Now, don't pray. So they want Jerusalem, they want to survive and have their way of life and everything, and judgment, God's righteous judgment, requires captivity, among other things. And therefore, it's God's judgment, but God's mercy. So God's going to allow them to be taken captive, some of them, over to Babylon, and then out of it, they're going to go back to Jerusalem. But what I want to catch, God, when we can't pray for Jerusalem. We can't pray for peace. We can't pray, but God, we're going to go captives to Babylon. Chapter 29, verse 7. And seek the peace. What are you going to say, God? Seek the peace of the city. That's Babylon. Whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. You couldn't pray for Jerusalem anymore, but you can pray for Babylon. You can pray that I'll be gracious to you in that pagan, idolatrous city. And he was. Now you can pray, and when I judge you, why couldn't I just have... No, you can't do it there. You got to move. Because God said, I have to discipline. Now I'm going to move. Now you can pray there. Pray there. It isn't where you're supposed to be. But you can pray there in my grace and mercy, because I'm going to remember what I'm doing. And thus, chapter 29, And in verse 10, remember, I'll read down to the 70 years captivity, and sliding down to verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call up in 70 years, I'm going to pray for the city, pray for the people, they're going to keep you. They aren't going to crush you. It isn't going to be like the Inquisition. They aren't going to do that. They're going to keep you. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now God said, I'm going to do it. Now don't get after me because you're judged. Disciplined. Exercise the discipline in the right way. And bend your head and heart in the discipline to God for His good working. The discipline is for a reason. Those He loves, He what? He chastens and disciplines. Go through it. Don't buck it. Go through it. Trusting God to work through all that God has in mind. Now, having said that little bit, to stay with God, in other words, you may move in the discipline in the from Jerusalem to Babylon, and it got 70 years, but pray to God. God's going to be gracious, and a bunch of you are going to, all of you could go back, but not all of you are going to do it, to Jerusalem in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. Now, so now, go with me, please, over to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, here's the psalmist, Asaph, and in the process, he has to do and deals, remember he was associate with David and involved in the temple, etc. And in the process, all his psalms, 73 to 83, all through there, are all about, where's he coming from? He's coming from the sanctuary. That's what I want you to get. When you read this, here we are, here's a man, here's the godly trying to live a life in an ungodly world when everything seems to be against you. It doesn't seem to be profitable. Shouldn't we be loved and liked? You know, why do we have to see all this and we don't want to join them and be like them? God help us. That's Psalm 73. So, in the light of that, I'll picking up if I can, I'll read verse 11. And they say, people, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God know anything? Like, where is God and all the unbelief and all the prosperity and all the business is going? Look at verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious and foolish. I got all caught up in what other people had and did. And when I did that, I lost it. Now how am I going to fix it? Chapter Psalm 73, going if I can to verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. When I went into the sanctuary, I understood. I would have never got it outside the sanctuary. It was in the sanctuary. It's in the sanctuary I got where I could see light and saw that darkness is doomed and judged. You don't want to go there. You don't want to follow that. It's a course to endless suffering. You don't want to go there. And I don't want to go there. I wouldn't have known it till I sat down with God. I opened God's word, as it were. And I went to prayer meeting and just reminded myself so I don't get all caught up in everything. Now, so I went into the sanctuary, and then I understood their end. And then you slide down, as you know. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee, God. I was so stupid in what I did and what I said. Nevertheless, verse 23, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. God, there's no one like you. So God, I had to go into sanctuary and get it reminded, refreshed. Now, got that part. Now, over if you would please, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, now David, remember, it's a Maskil's psalm, teaching for understanding in the process, and during David's time and all of that, Absalom rebellion and all of these different things. And here's the psalm, and the believing heart is in looking, as it were, just think of a person in exile. Here's Jerusalem, they're going to go into captivity, and here's the prayer, here's the cry of the heart in the process. Psalm 42. Now, as my heart, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now, sliding down, my tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? Where is your God? Well, that's what Israel was supposed to do. Let them know there's a God. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a believer? You're supposed to let. They don't know God. You do. You do. You came to know the Lord as your Savior. Then do it. Then do it. Wow. And they want to know, because we're looking at all the life's problems. And it looks like we have no light. We're in the same darkness they are. We're in the same strait and sewer they are. We have no hope. But we do. So, where is my God? Thy God. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I went to the sanctuary. Where are you going to go to get light? The sanctuary. That's where you're going to go. You want light? You're not going to get it down to the bar room. You're not going to get it at Kmart. You're not going to get it in the drugstore. Where are you going to get it? You're going to have to come to God. And the psalmist, you got it. Jeremiah, you got it. I do. I got to keep God in focus. Now, so therefore, and you know verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all agitated inside? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance, his face. God, you do wonderful things for me. So God, I'm looking to you. And when I go, I need to be looking into your word, honoring your presence, praying without ceasing, without interruption. Thank you, God. I forgot you. I forgot God. I'm guilty. Boop. I'm guilty. And as you know, it keeps going. Verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, for they say daily unto me, where is thy God? That's what they want to know. They don't want to know, church, you go to church, are you religious, did you this or that? No, they want to know about your God, personal. They want to tell them about their God. We're able to give a reason for the hope that is within us about God. Tell you about my God. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a gracious God. Now, so, and thus it closes. Why, and Psalm 42 and 43 go together. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all agitated within me? Hope thou in God. I will yet praise him who is the health, the healing of my countenance. and my God. And remember, we've said 5,000 times, the end of verse 5, it's God's face. When you look to God properly, it's my face, the end of verse 11. My countenance. Who changed your outlook? God did. Who changed your thinking and brought you up to date? Who refreshed your mind? Who gave you the exercise to see as you need to see? God did. And that's why. See, God has it. Then you got to get it. I got to get it, God. And so that I get it, God. I got you, God, so that I get it. And then I get it, and then others can see it. Wow. Now, having said that, sanctuary, sanctuary, sanctuary. Now we'll go again to the sanctuary. Over to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, remember now, you're going to have in the feast that we're going to look at, and this is the psalm, all these psalms involve the sanctuary. There are things that, in other words, in the sanctuary services, this is one of the psalms that were written for the sanctuary service, like this. And what is it for? To remind them and refresh them of their history so they stay fresh. Now, Psalm 81, here's the blow up the trumpet. In the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day, first day of September, seventh month, the civil new year. And they're going to celebrate, they're celebrating. And what are they going to remember? For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. Statute, law, verse 5. This is he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went through the land of Egypt, when I heard a language that I understood not. In other words, the Israelites spent 400 years and the Egyptians spoke one language. The Israelites altogether spoke another. We didn't understand them. Thus, verse 6, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots that they slaved with, making in Egypt. Verse 7, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in secret place of thunder. I proved thee by the waters of Meribah, Selah. Here, there's your little word, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there's the word. Now, they will not hear them. They should have heard me, and they should have responded to me, but they didn't. I'm not going to hear them. Now, God, what's this? What are we doing in the sanctuary? We're reciting our history as a Jew so that we're reminded of what? About a great God. We forget him. Thus, pick it up. Verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. For I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And, verse 11, But my people would not, N-O-T, hearken, there's your word, to hear, hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They didn't want anything to do with me. That's how we started. Verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened. They didn't, there's the word here, unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I would have wished they did. But they didn't. So here we are, think you were if you were a Jew in the sanctuary and reading this. And as you read it, what do you get? Well, the reminder of history that we just didn't exercise. God's wonderful grace. Verse 14. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Their haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. but their time should have endured. But their time should have endured forever, and he should have fed them with the finest of wheat, with the honey out of the rock, the extra. I should have satisfied thee. I didn't want to. I'm satisfying you. I'm doing that which satisfies your heart to the fullest. And you know what? Verse 10. You didn't open your mouth, and I would have filled it. But you wouldn't do it. All you had to do was honor me, and I would have brought it all, like I did in the beginning, at your feet. But you didn't do it. All you had to do was open your mouth. That's all. And like a little bird, the mother bird is going to feed it. Wow. And you didn't do it. They're reading that in the sanctuary, reminding themselves how easy it is to go in and out and miss the whole thing. Huh? Wow. Now, having said that little bit, if you would, in closing, pretty close, Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. It's in the sanctuary. Israel, what are you going to do to the sanctuary in Jerusalem? I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar level it. I'm going to let him level the sanctuary. It's going to be rubble. I told you I wasn't going to hear. And you're trusting the sanctuary, you're trusting the temple in the wrong way. You aren't trusting God. Isaiah chapter 8, as you know. In the process, if you would. The Assyrians have taken the 10 tribes in the north, 722 B.C. And now the Assyrians are riled up to come down and go after Judah and Jerusalem. And in the process, the people are all, they had 100 years, or not 100 years in this case, but they had all those years to pay attention, and they haven't. So now here comes the Assyrians, whoop, down they're coming again. Down they're coming this time, and the 10 tribes, they're already absorbed into the Assyrian Empire. Now, so therefore, and Jeremiah and Isaiah, what are the people saying to you? Well, we got to do something. Maybe we should run to Egypt. Maybe we should make a treaty and surrender to the Assyrians so they don't hurt us. They could take everything, but they may not hurt us. So, we should surrender. Ah. And Jeremiah said, never. Jeremiah said, never. Isaiah said, never. You aren't supposed to do that. You're supposed to go and look to God. Now, if you don't, you're going to end up in captivity as the 10 tribes in the north and the Babylonians in the south. They ended up doing it. So, in the process now, chapter 8 and in verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. They're telling Isaiah all these different things. And say ye not a confederacy, that's the word treason, to all them whom this people shall say, a confederacy, a treason. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Now, if here's Isaiah, you don't love Israel, Isaiah. You don't care about right. You don't care about anything, the temple. You don't care about us. And thus, Jeremiah, you're a traitor. You're a traitor. You're a bad guy. Just like they said to Jeremiah. So here is Isaiah. Now, and thus the word to him, the end of verse 12, Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Now, are you going to be afraid of the Assyrians coming? No, don't be afraid. Are you going to be afraid of what the people might do to you? No, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How come? Well, because, verse 13, sanctify, set apart the Lord of hosts himself, and let him, H-I-M, him personally, be your fear, and let him be your dread. Let God be all that he is, and honor him. What was the problem in Jeremiah's day, among other things? They didn't fear God. They needed to fear God. And Jeremiah and Isaiah, you guys did. And when you fear God, you win. Think of Joshua, a study in Joshua and all that. You win, that's all. It's the way it is. God wants it that way. Now, and thus, that doesn't mean everything's pleasant. It just means you're winning. You never lose. You never lose, no matter what. You're always a winner. Thus, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. He, verse 14, he shall be for a what, dear friend? A sanctuary. Well, I don't have anywhere to go. He said, I'm where to go. I'm your sanctuary. I'm your hiding place. Hidden in the presence. Remember the psalm? Hidden in his wonderful presence. No, that's what they are. Hidden. Everything's all right. Bugs, germs, all around me. All around you. And we're hidden. Sanctified. He should be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, a trap, an obstacle, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. God said, listen, that's going to happen to them. But Isaiah, you don't need to let that happen. And the believing Jews don't need to let that happen. And you don't have to worry about, what about the government? What about all the European thing? What about all the dumb regulations and laws and all the different stuff that could be and is happening, more or less? And all kinds, you just keep hearing it. All kinds of things the rules and regulations do. It's bad. But that's outside. That's part of the system. System's condemned already. So God, we're looking to you. And don't be, well, then you say people get after you. Let them. So what? They can do whatever they want. I don't want to join them. Their car's going over the edge of the cliff. I don't want to get in it. That's all. Go. You want to do it? You think like that. You can think any way you want. You can feel any way you wish. Go ahead. It's your thing. Wow. So God, here we are, and you're to be a wonderful, wonderful sanctuary. So there, we can what? I'll give you the idea. The Lord said, whatever you ask in my name, in my will, for my glory, I'll do it. I want you to pray without ceasing. Don't pray, I'm not going to pray for them. Hold it, I want you to pray without ceasing. That's what we're doing. Exercise. God, we aren't out there. We aren't out on the edge of the cliff. We're in it. We need to understand that. Wow. So when you're in your house and you're at work and school and different things you do, you're all alone. But you're not alone. And you hold with the whole world around you. And that world around you is not understanding a thing of what you're doing. But they aren't. Do you remember the Lord when he was going up and down those three and a half years? He went up and down. And every now and then, he'd try to say, well, I'm trying to explain to you. And remember, he tried so hard to help everybody understand every little thing. Do you remember that? It's hard to find anything. He even took time to explain to them. He said, "You know who I am, and if you aren't even in the place to grab what I want to give to you." It'd be like explaining Laplace transforms to the average first grader. Wow. You got the idea? Well, pray. God, we're in the end. We're in. God, so? And God said, "I'm not going to hear their prayer, and you aren't going to change a thing." Well, God, we aren't trying to change anything. We're just trying to keep our heart right. That's all we're doing. We aren't going to fix the world. We just have to make sure our own heart is right. And God will bless that. Wow. So perhaps you have a particular request as we go to prayer. And remember that. Remember the government. Remember the military, men and women. The believers especially across the world.